This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's happening in San Diego? And welcome into Gwen and Chris. Happy Tuesday to you. 2 o'clock is the time. We're getting underway a minute early today, which is a good thing. We need every minute we can get. It's a short program. We'll be on till about 3:30 this afternoon, and then we'll make way for Sammy Levitt and the Padre pregame show. And then at about 4:30 this afternoon, the Padres will face Wade Miley and the Milwaukee Brewers. Game 2 of a 3-game series. Crisello, Matt Scraby together here in the Odyssey Palace. Tony Gwynn Jr. should be joining us along the way. He is in Milwaukee, of course, getting ready for the call of tonight's ball game. And Scraby, as I tweeted out this morning, the Padres are rolling merrily along.
Merrily along.
You like how I did that?
I do. I do. I do like that.
You just figured it out.
I did. I was
it's
like,
it's a good
merrily
thing you're on top of things. Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
They're rolling. Would it help you if I said they're rolling Jackson merrily along?
Yes, but you know what? Everybody
you
out
shouldn't
there
need that.
Doesn't know this about you, but you are really good at coming up with titles.
I'm the master of turning a phrase. Yes. Jackson Merrill does it again last night. 3 more hits and the key hit of the ball game. I mean, you know, this is what we talked about yesterday. It's not just that he's hitting 356, which is extraordinary, by the way. It's that the hits he gets them at the most opportune time.
Exactly.
And yesterday, here you are in the middle of a rally in the fifth inning. It was really, I hate to say this like this, but it was a rally that probably should have never happened. Thank you, Milwaukee Brewers. Kicking the ball all over the infield, pass balls, catcher's interference.
Everything under the sun.
Shot clock violations, not basketball, Chris.
Pitch clock violations.
Pitch clock violations. I mean, they did everything to help the Padres along, but you still needed one more, you know, you needed to stick the fork in and put a capper on the rally. And that's what Jackson Merrill did. His 2-run single broke the game open a little bit. Luis Camposano had a good, he's been struggling lately, but he had a 2-hit inning, which is something you can put on the, you know, the positive side when you check in with St. Peter's up there.
The baseball bingo card.
Yeah, check in with St. Peter's. How was your life, son? Well, I don't know, but once I had 2 hits in an inning. So that's a positive achievement.
That is.
Goes on your positive ledger. Camposano singled in a run, 7-3 at that point. And for the third time in 3 victories, right? Their last 3 victories, Padres bullpen, letter perfect, right? They had 6 shutout innings in the game on Friday night when they beat the Dodgers. They had 4 shutout innings on Sunday when they beat the Dodgers. And they had 3 shutout innings yesterday, capped off by the flame-throwing Robert Suarez's 6th save. So all is good in Padre land, or is it? Now we get some negative news. Jay Cronenworth will not be in the lineup today. But Tony Gwynn Jr. will be in the lineup today, and here he is from Milwaukee, joining us from the booth. Hello, TG Jr. How are you today, sir?
Hello, sir. I am well, sir.
Did you catch my I turned this phrase to
yeah,
open
no, I
this,
caught it.
You caught
I
it.
I caught it.
But
I've
Scraby
been here for
didn't
the whole
get
show.
It. Scraby
I've been
didn't
here for the
Oh, nobody
been,
told me.
Yeah, no,
no,
it's all good. You guys had a great opening. Great opening to the show, I must say.
Thank
Bravo
you.
To you guys.
I gotta say, this camera thing is really getting annoying because every day now I have a new problem to deal with.
And a new excuse to make.
No, so there's no excuse.
Is that why you sounded is that why you sounded preoccupied when Chris was asking you if you caught it or
correct.
Not? You
didn't, correct.
Yeah,
he didn't
sound
get
like you were really paying attention.
He didn't get
to that.
The merrily along thing.
No, I mean,
he needed help.
Let's be
probably,
honest. Let's be
somebody,
honest, it would always have taken
somebody,
me 15 seconds.
Yeah, that's true. Somebody from the chat probably had to chime in and let him know what was going on there. Well, Tony, I think things are moving along nicely. They've won 4 out of 5, the Padres. And the way they're doing it, In come-from-behind fashion, they've had 10 wins now this season. In exactly half of them, five, they have trailed in the ball game. This is their third comeback of the year from three runs or more behind. They only did that four times all of last season. They've already done it three times this year, and we're midway through April. And having the ability to come back is a really, really nice thing to be able to lean on. Number one, it gives your pitchers a little more reason to relax at the outset of a game. You don't have to worry about giving up a run. And the confidence it builds is something that always seems to lead to success down the road.
Yeah, I hear no lie in that that idea that it builds confidence for sure. And, you know, I think this is – it's April 16th, still early, but this is – because they've done it so often so early, it seems like it's starting to become part of their identity. And this is something that Mike Shildt talked a lot about during spring training. You know, when he was asked that, it felt like every other week he was asked, what is this team's identity? And he was like, you know, we don't know. I think over the course of the season, your identity is kind of established in that. And, you know, at least through the first 2.5, 3 weeks, their identity is a team that's just, they're not going to quit. Whether they win or lose, they're just going to keep trying to put runs on the board. It's going to come in all, you know, kinds of fashion. They're going to hit the long ball. They're going to get some jam shots. They're going to hit a bunch of missiles. They just kind of play the game. And they're not perfect by any means, but they certainly are starting to get, it seems like, better and better as an offense, just kind of moving the line.
Dylan Cease will be on the mound tonight for the Friars against Wade Miley. But we did mention the small fly in the ointment, Jake Cronenworth, out of the lineup for the first time this season. He was replaced late in the game yesterday by Brett Sullivan. Sullivan has now gone down to AAA. He has been replaced on the roster by Matthew Batten. Jerickson Profar moves over to first base tonight. Jose Azokar gets a start in left field. And how's Jake? I mean, what do you know? Anything, Tony? Did you run into him somewhere along the line?
I didn't, but you know, after the game last night, it sounded like he had a little something going on with his calf.
Okay.
And so, I mean, the mere fact that they called somebody up, and although it wasn't to put him on the IL at this point, they're probably going to go day to day until. And this is just me speculating because they haven't said anything. They did say after the game, though, that he came out of the game due to a little calf tightness. So I think reading the tea leaves with the move made, it might be day-to-day for him, which could eventually lead to him going on the IL. I think they're just not at that point right now.
Well, let's just hope that's not the case because, like I said, everything's moving along very nicely. The Padres have even moved within a game of the first-place Dodgers, who have reacted. Dodgers, remember I said we got to tap them on the shoulder this weekend, let them know we're there. The Dodgers have reacted. Apparently they're going to call up their young slugger, Andy Pages, is going to be brought up. Reports are saying that is the case.
That kid was built for baseball.
He's also statistically seems to be built for it. He's already hit five home runs or something like that at AAA. So he's off to a really good start. Jason Hayward's on the injured list, and the guys they have filling in there in L.A. have not been doing the job. So apparently the Dodgers are going to make that move, but we're not yet concerned about them. It's on to tonight's game. How would you describe that fifth inning yesterday, Tony? From the Padres side, it was a good job of taking advantage of everything they had and were given. The Brewers side, it was kind of ugly, I must say. But I mean, we'll take it.
You got to capitalize on ugliness,
yes,
though.
Yes, right.
And
and
they did. I mean, it's been really back to back games where team they're playing against has made some errors that, you know, kind of helped them in some ways. That fifth inning was just a microcosm of what that game looked like for the Brewers. I mean, they were cruising along, both sides, really just kind of plugging along. I know Joe was really struggling to find his shapes and really command the baseball. And then all of a sudden, he started to kind of settle in, got a quick inning in the fourth. He settled down. And then in the fifth, man, I don't know, Joe Ross was rolling. And then did get a couple calls, a blooper here, a jam shot here, a catcher's interference here. it just started to kind of unravel. And I mean, for a guy who was cruising, he didn't hit that point. And that's a good example of what can happen to a team when you keep giving extra outs, extra situations. Eventually, a team will crack it open. And we saw it for the Padres against the Dodgers. We saw it the previous night. And then we saw it again for the Padres last night. And, you know, they're taking advantage of it. They can't apologize because teams aren't doing their part, but they certainly are taking full advantage of it. And you know, that's part of why they've been playing better here lately.
For those who keep these kinds of records, Matt Scraby was hard at work before the program. And he was looking up to see...
Tony says, I don't know.
Well, this is actually going to turn out good, Tony. He was looking up to see what the Padre record is for most hits in the first 19 games of a player's rookie season. You want to take a guess who holds the Padre record in that category? Tony Gwynn Jr.?
Surprise me.
How about Tony Gwynn? Yeah, it's pretty hard to surprise you. He had 30 hits in his first 19 games as a rookie.
How old was your dad when he
was
a rookie?
Your dad, incredible. 19,
what year was that?
Be 83, I guess.
83.
Came up in 82.
So he would have been 23.
Yeah, 23 years old, had 30 hits in his first 19 games. But Jackson Merrill has 21 hits in his first 19 games. And you look at the National League batting race as it stands on April the 16th, William Contreras there in Milwaukee is on top right now in the National League at 390, followed by Will Smith at 369. That in and itself is quite strange to have two catchers leading the batting race. Marcelo Zuna's off to a great start for Atlanta. He's third at 365. But in fourth place, Jackson Merrill, San Diego Padres, 356. And it's the same thing, Tony. I mean, he's getting the hits, but it's when he gets them that is even more important and more impressive.
It is. I mean, there's a lot to be impressed about with Jackson. Now, I must point out, as I've said on this show before, my dad had a saying that he used to use often when we were talking about early statistics. A horse that does his business early doesn't do it long. And so for that standpoint, that
he
applies
really had
to
that saying, huh?
Oh, he obviously it was a little more colorful than that.
I see.
It's really funny.
But yeah, I just, you know, there's so much to like with Jackson, man. Like, at this point, I feel like I'm just kind of repeating myself as it
not
pertains to
a lot
to
new
him.
To say, yeah.
But there isn't really. I mean, he just goes up there, competes, and gets the job done. Like, it ain't nothing to it. It isn't a big, booming three-run shot, but it's a knock here that drives in a run, right? It's a double down the left field line that drives in a run. It's a single up the middle to keep the inning going. I mean, he just seems to be in those spots all the time, and he's had early success with it.
Well, as we've been saying all along, I think the good news is he's doing what he's doing. The better news is that around baseball, they don't seem to be noticing. Pretty much not a day goes by that you call up, you know, the baseball page at ESPN.com and there isn't a story on Jackson Holliday or there isn't another story on Jackson Churio. Every time Jackson Holliday, you know, comes up to the plate, they stop the game.
New balls in play.
Whatever they do. Look, I he could be fantastic, and I'm sure he will be. And Jackson Churio had a nice game, obviously, last night, had a two-run homer and had a couple of hits. He's got three home runs, three stolen bases. Jackson Merrill's got three stolen bases. But as we said, let Jackson just do his thing while everybody else is looking the other way. It makes it a whole lot easier for him.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it can go without everybody starting to drop cameras in here and, you know, all of a sudden changing whatever they're doing on the MLB network to tap in on what it is at bats. Like, as long as we can avoid that, the less, you know, the less pressure is at. And that's not to say that when it does happen, he won't handle it. I just think, you know, the more he can just keep going under the radar, the further along he's going to push this out. And then eventually, you know what? His numbers and his play will force them to talk about it. I'm not even mad that they're not talking about it right now. It's April 15th. I prefer them to be talking about him come July, come beyond that, because that means he has continued to do what he's doing here in the early portion of the season.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, just let him do his thing. Just don't, you know, somebody don't fill in Brian Kenny, their pal at MLB Network. You brought up MLB Network. Because Jackson's getting a lot of singles right now, and we know that there are people in the game who don't think that's don't think that helps a team win games. They're not paying attention to what this kid is doing, because he is helping the Padres win game after game after game. And by the way, last night was the first time in over 60 years baseball that two rookies had multiple hits and multiple RBIs, two rookies of that age, in the same game. So Jackson Chourio, Jackson Merrill, making a little history last night with their outstanding performance in that game. And Padres, like I said, they move within a game of the Dodgers in the National League West, for what that's worth. The runners in scoring position average, 4-for-14 last night, continues to be robust. Hitting .293, sixth best in all of baseball. In fact, the Brewers are leading that right now at .358. But they continue to be without Christian Yelich, who's not in the lineup once again tonight. All right, we'll take a quick break. Tony, we've got you for a little longer. Got to get your thoughts on tonight's big NBA game.
Oh, yeah.
Sacramento Golden State meeting. For the right to stay alive. Oh, that's right. Lakers are playing, too.
Yeah, I don't care about that game.
So you will have your head on a swivel, as you do, by the way, better than anybody I've ever seen.
Thank you.
Able to watch a Laker game that you care a lot about and broadcast as if you're a Hall of Fame radio announcer.
Well, you're too kind.
You know, I can't do it. I could never do it. I would make Dave Marcus, although he wouldn't do this, I would ask Dave Marcus kindly to turn the Laker game off while I was broadcasting, because I would not be able to do both.
If he put his hand anywhere near my television screen,
yeah,
I might get chopped off.
So. Not going to happen.
Plus, he's going to be watching it back there on his computer anyway.
Yeah, he needs to know what's going on as well. So Lakers NBA playoffs start tonight. We'll check in on that. All the other sports news of the day. Quick get-together. We'll be here till 3:30. Gwen and Chris saying hello on this Tuesday, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want a life's little mysteries. I don't know when the... first of all, the streaming, we're sorry we didn't have it up there on YouTube for the first segment of the show. I only bring that up because it was clearly and 100% Scraby's fault that we did not get that up there in time.
Adam,
so I just
came
want that known.
Adam Klug,
Adam Klug came in here like he was about to announce that his wife was pregnant or something. I'm not sure what he was excited. He was really excited, but he wanted to make sure we were on YouTube. Sorry about that. Here we are. We are ready to go. But here's one of my mysteries. I'm not sure when the YouTube kicks in to start each segment, but if you look closely at the beginning of every segment, I'm usually unraveling my headset.
I don't bring it back that quick.
You don't bring it back that quick?
Because I don't want people to see you doing the spaghetti.
It's unbelievable. It turns into spaghetti between every commercial break, these two little earbuds.
For a guy who's
drives me crazy.
The most OCD guy maybe that I know.
Right? I know.
I think about this every single time. I think about this every single time I see his earphones like that. It's like, I know this has to be like burning his insides up.
Oh, yeah,
looking at it like that.
It's every single break. I'm going to bring it back early next time.
Now, if you're watching on the YouTube, at the end of the segment, what I do is I take them out carefully, and I place them down like that.
That is not true. You throw them like,
and
done
then,
with that segment. Boom!
And then by the beginning of the next segment, they're, you know, anyway. Something happens every single time. One of life's great little mysteries. Tonight, the NBA playoffs begin, which is kind of nice because I haven't really paid too much attention to the NBA since December. The last I looked, the Lakers were winning the in-season tournament over the Indiana Pacers. Lakers wind up then with the 8 seed in the or the 8 spot in the Western Conference. The Pacers ended up as a 6 seed in the East. So the in-season tournament, though, I think was a lot of fun. It was a big success. But now we go to the play-in tournament. And the Lakers have 2 shots to get into the postseason. They either need to win tonight in New Orleans, or without that, they'd have to win a game on Friday against either Golden State or Sacramento. That game would be in Los Angeles if necessary. Tony, I ask you, as one of the great Laker fans I know, do you subscribe at all?
No.
To this theory?
No.
That if the Lakers lose tonight, they would avoid having to play the Denver Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs.
Now, you know,
I know
how
you
I
don't
feel
subscribe to that. Of course you
know
don't.
How I feel about that. You know how I feel about that matchup, right?
Which, right. You know you have no chance to beat Denver.
However.
So, but you still don't want to take your chances.
Absolutely not.
No,
do not cheat.
Not. No, of course
basketball
not.
Gods. Don't
That's
do
right.
it.
No. It's like,
do
the,
it.
It's like the people who say, well, the game 5 of the finals is in, you know, Cleveland. Don't you want to lose so you can come back and win it at home in game 6?
Yeah.
No!
Ridiculous.
It's the stupidest it's thing
ridiculous.
I've ever heard. And they bring it up every time. They always bring it up as if the team's really going to go for game 5 of the final series and make sure that they don't win so that they can come home and celebrate at home. It's ridiculous.
It's silly. Yeah, it Lakers need to go ahead and try to wrap this up quickly, get into this matchup. Because, listen, you never know. As down on that matchup as I am, you never know.
No,
you could
don't.
Go in there, take them out, and then you know the road to the finals to that point looks a whole lot different without Denver in it. So
if the Lakers win tonight, you're right, and then they beat Denver in the first round, there wouldn't be anything to me standing in their way that what I would consider to be a roadblock that they can't get past.
No, and there's no doubt.
I'm still convinced when the Lakers have, you know, if Anthony Davis can just stay upright and healthy. I know he tweaked something the other day and left the final game of the regular season. He's not listening to you. He tweaked his back. Well, the goggles won't help his back. But
no, they won't.
If he got the goggles and stopped getting poked in the eye, you know, Anthony Davis is such a force. And
he
together
is.
With LeBron, and LeBron played 70 games this year, guys. For all of those who keep thinking, you know, boy, it seems like he sat out a lot. He played 70 games, actually 71, because they don't count
the last championship game of the play.
That's right. So LeBron played 71 games. And I mean, you know, until further notice, he's one of the great winners in the history of the sport. And he's one of the great winners in the history of any sport. And that flies in the face of people who argue, oh, LeBron James has lost the finals this many times, that many. He's been in the finals 11
right.
times or whatever
right.
it is. Give the guy a little credit where it's due. And I can't see New Orleans winning this game tonight. I know it's in New Orleans. I know they've got great talent. There's no way LeBron James lets this game get away. I mean, I think you're safe, Tony, to be honest with you.
I do, too. I feel pretty good about this. The New Orleans Pelicans are turning into the West version of the Toronto Raptors when LeBron was in Cleveland. Like, they could be the number one seed, and it didn't matter. If they had him in the matchup, they were going to get swept. And so I kind of look at it like that, ultimately. And so I think the Lakers will win this game, and I think ultimately they got a shot to, they ultimately have a shot to take down Denver. They probably have the best shot to take down Denver, quite frankly.
I don't disagree. I mean, the number one seed is Oklahoma City, and the number three seed is Minnesota. I don't think anybody really expects a whole lot from those two teams, being as they are so inexperienced come playoff time. I think Phoenix is always a threat because of Durant. And, You know, the Clippers, I think, if they weren't named the Clippers, you know, they would always be a threat because they've got so many good players, you know, and they play Dallas. So there's some great teams in the West, but you're still going to have to find a way to beat LeBron. The other guy is Steph Curry. He'll try to pull some of his magic tonight against Sacramento. And this is a must-win game, right? We talk about it way
too
often.
Loser goes home.
But tonight is a must-win game because if you don't win and you're the Warriors, your season is over. Charles Barkley was already on television today saying that the Warriors, as we know, no longer exist. He might be jumping the gun, but if they lose tonight, they probably should start thinking about what's next in Golden State.
So I think inevitably that is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And their first question is, what are they going to do with Klay Thompson? He's a free agent, I believe, at the end of this year. This may be the beginning of the end in terms of those three being together.
Yeah, I already heard that Klay Thompson wants to be a Laker, so
wouldn't upset me at all.
I know it won't.
Is his dad
you.
Still broadcasting?
I think
yeah,
so.
He
Thompson?
Still does the radio.
That would be kind of weird, huh?
Why?
I guess your dad called some of your games,
he
right,
sure
Tony?
Did.
Yeah,
he sure
true.
Did.
Never mind.
Dads can call games. It's legal. Tomorrow night, the Eastern Conference playoffs get underway. The Chicago Bulls will begin there.
They made the playoffs?
They're an extra. No, they're in the play-in tournament. They've got to win that to get into the playoffs.
Right.
They will actually need to win two games. They'll have to win tomorrow against Atlanta, Adam Klug's Hawks, and then they'll have to win another game. So the Bulls' inexorable march to the offseason begins and ends probably tomorrow. There you have it on the NBA playoffs. All right, Tony, any other news to pass along from Milwaukee that we absolutely positively have to know?
Christian Yelich went on the IL.
He did, officially.
Yes.
All right, that was kind of destined to happen.
How are you feeling, Chris? He's
fine.
On your fantasy team.
Not for now. You don't manage your fantasy baseball team based on what could be.
Chris,
you manage
Tony,
your baseball
way,
team based on what is, and he's not on it right now. So
Chris has been playing this whole card leading up to this season. I don't want to be bad at this. It's going to be too much work. He was the first one in our league to sweep 10-0 in the second week of the season.
This is what we folks like to call a hustle.
Yeah,
is what we like to call this.
All of a sudden, he's like a brilliant fantasy baseball
manager.
You've
seen the movie White Man Can't Jump, right? Billy Hoyle pretends like he's just this kind of like run of the mill hooper. He looks crazy with his aerobic socks on, and then all of a sudden he gets out there and he's hooping and he's hustling people for their money. I think that might have been what just happened to you and your boys, Matthew. Although
no.
You guys asked for the hustle.
We did, but I'm also still the champion, and the league is still called Scraby's Kingdom, so he has to unseat me.
Not only is that the league called that, his team is called The Champ Is Here. I mean, you know, there's something about not wanting to put a target on your back. Scraby subscribes to the exact opposite
of
that theory.
He wants a target on his back.
Yes, he wants a target on his back.
He operates best, apparently, with a target on his back.
Yeah. So. Now, can I correct one thing about the stat I gave earlier about Tony Gwynn, 30 hits?
Please.
Oh,
okay.
Here we go.
He did not have 30 hits, but he was at the top with 24 hits in his first 19 games. 24.
Right.
He actually started in 1982.
Yes, we know that.
So, but you said 83.
No, 83 was his rookie season.
Was his rookie season, right.
But
he broke his wrist.
In 82.
In 82.
And explain to me, does his first stint in the majors not count?
You get a certain amount of games.
You're considered a rookie until you have a certain amount of at-bats or you've pitched a certain amount of innings.
Right. So okay. He didn't quite get to the threshold in 82.
Do we have one more minute with you, Tony?
Sure.
What's going on with Angel Hernandez behind home plate tonight? What is
that's
baseball
information
going to
we
do?
Positively have to know. Yes,
what
we
is going on with him? He's behind the plate.
Yeah.
I mean, like, going into this game, don't you think this is going to be a wild game?
No.
Behind the plate?
You don't hope that it's going to be a wild game. You hope that it's actually, you don't even notice that he's back there.
But we will notice that.
It's not a guarantee. Because here's the thing. You've had two games in which you've seen, we've heard from Angel, at least in the regular season, right? He's done a lot more than that. So that means the other games, he didn't do anything. Man.
Angel Hernandez is in midseason form.
Did you see him strike out Wyatt
Langford?
He
didn't do anything that warranted one of those things in the other games.
first time in history an umpire was ever credited with a strikeout was when Wyatt Langford got called out by Angel Hernandez.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to do, I do want to know, is Jesse still on TV or is he back with you tonight?
Jesse's still on TV.
All
it's
right.
me and Scan the Man.
You and Scan the Man on the radio. I got to tell you, Tony, I love you guys, but I'm going to have to just listen to Jesse squirm for a couple of innings. With Angel.
Oh, with Angel behind
it? Yeah, because Jesse squirms on balls and strikes calls for sure.
He does.
And tonight there's going to be some squirming.
Balls and strikes definitely seem to annoy him when they're not called correct.
Well, squirmage. He's going to be squirming back there tonight. All right, have a good call. Good luck. Let's bring home another W, and then we'll talk to you when we talk to you. Tony Gwynn Jr., our
right,
guy
gentlemen.
In Milwaukee.
See you, Tony.
Gwynn and Chris takes a short break. Coming back, much more ahead. And you know what? Might even sneak open a couple of phone calls if you're lucky out there. 833-288-0973. Is there anything more that we can say really good about Jackson Merrill? I guess there is. We found a couple things. 3 for 5 last night. He's got three hit games already this season. Luis Camposano also has 3. Two of Merrill's hits last night came with 2 outs. With 2 outs, he's hitting 4. The statistics are
incredible.
Incredible what you can find out.
You can find anything.
He's hitting .435 with 2 outs. The only player hitting better than that is some guy named Juan Soto.
Oh, I've heard of him.
I think I've heard of him.
I mean, Juan Soto is not the player that he was here, that he is in New York.
He's doing well. I was going to talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
And Jackson Merrill also with 2 strikes had a base hit, 2-run single last night with 2 strikes. He's hitting .321 with 2 strikes on him. Now, that's Tony Gwynn senior territory. The average for Major League Baseball players, and I heard this the other night, so it could be off by a little bit, but as of the other night, batters with 2 strikes are hitting .165 this year. You get the 2nd strike, you pretty much have a guy out.
Yeah.
But not Jackson Merrill. He's hitting .321. That ranks 6th best in big league baseball. And as we said already, he's 4th in the National League batting race right now. So I was really, correct me if I'm wrong, Scraby, I was really slow on the Jackson Merrill hype train during spring training.
Yep.
I refused to jump aboard.
Yep, I was not.
I refused to jump aboard until I saw what he could do once the bell rang.
Ding.
Now the bell has rung and I'm ringing in. I mean, he's way better than anybody could have thought he was going to be. And let's just hope he keeps it up. Padre news today, as mentioned, Jake Cronenworth out of the lineup tonight, feeling some discomfort in his calf. Tony is in Milwaukee, joined us the first couple segments there from the booth. No word whether or not Jake has to go on the injured list or not, but the Padres have made a move. They have brought up Matthew Batten and sent Brett Sullivan down. Tonight, Jurickson Profar will play first base, and Jose Azokar will be in left field, while Cronenworth is out. So the first hiccup of the season, and hopefully it's not a big one. Hopefully it's just a day or two. Maybe Jake takes tomorrow off. Gets a travel day on Thursday. Hopefully, maybe ready to go Friday when they're home for Toronto. But it seems like the injured list is a possibility.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that. As Tony said, Christian Yelich went on the IL today for Milwaukee. He's been out for a while already. Atlanta Braves, you want to make fun of my fantasy team.
No,
because Yelich goes on the IL.
Yeah, you can make fun of mine.
Then I will raise you. Ozzie Albies going on the IL today.
Yep.
From your fantasy team.
I got 5 guys on the IL right now.
He's got a fractured big toe.
Well, he got hit by a pitch.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And
guess where that pitch hit him?
In the toe?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Very good.
I don't understand why they're not wearing steel-toed cleats.
A lot of guys wear protection for their feet.
Not Albies.
Normally for foul tips, foul balls that go right down into their foot. Albies did not have that same protection, so he goes to the injured list today.
Mm.
You mentioned, well, we're going to take some phone calls if you'd like, and I know it's such a short show, we didn't really plan on it, But we have a segment here if you'd like to chime in. Something Padres related, something real good, something Jackson Merrill related, something that you're concerned about. You're more than welcome, 833-288-0973. But I wanted to point out, you talked about Juan Soto. And there's this growing sense of dread around Padre land that the world's worst thing happened when we traded away Juan Soto. Because now he's a Yankee, and now he's the greatest player in baseball history. So far, so good for Soto, no question. He has the same number of hits this season as does Jackson Merrill. I will tell you that, 21. He's got 3 home runs. He does have 15 RBIs. And he's got a 972 OPS. He's walked 16 times already. And we already played. He's leading the American League, by the way, in that category. And we already played for you how happy the radio folks are in New York with Juan Soto walking all the time. But here's the thing. Juan Soto, you traded him, and you knew you're going to have to bite the bullet to a certain extent because we're not watching him on a daily basis. To me, watching Juan Soto play every day is where I can start picking him apart a little bit. Miscues on defense, throwing to the wrong base, base running errors, not being aggressive enough at the plate, not coming through in clutch situations. These are all the things that bothered me last year, bothered some Padre fans, not others. You don't notice any of those things when all you see is a box score. And Juan Soto in a box score is about as good as it gets.
I agree.
All right, so let's just cast that aside for the moment. Because the Padres didn't just part, and I know the notion is every time we get rid of a player, they go on and they're unbelievable elsewhere, right? Isn't that the notion?
Pretty much.
Somebody asked Josh Hader about that.
Ugh.
Josh Hader was blasted last night.
Again.
Again, in the ninth inning. By the Braves. I think they got him for 4 or 5 runs.
Let me double check.
In a 1-1 tie. Braves end up winning a game 6-1. I don't know how many runs was charged to Hader.
I'm checking.
But so far for Josh Hader this year, 0-2 with a 9.39 ERA. In 7 innings, he's allowed 13 base runners. He has a 1.7 whip. Josh Hader's been about as bad as you can be. Now, having said that, Josh Hader also struggled when he came to San Diego first month or two.
I said the same thing to myself.
And then once he relaxed and settled in, he was the best reliever in baseball. But right now, he's certainly not. So your thought that, hey, every time a guy leaves San Diego, they're the greatest. Well, not so far with Josh Hader. Not
well,
so far.
He did give up the 4 runs last night in a third of an inning. And you kind of just sparked something in my head.
What's that?
And I just want to say, like, I'm not watching Juan Soto jealous of him and his success in New York or anything like that. I just think it's annoying when players go elsewhere and do a bunch of stuff.
Of course
but
it is.
Moving him also moved Trent Grisham, which allowed Jackson Merrill to have a position on the field.
And if he was doing with the Yankees so far, he's 0 for 10 with 4 strikeouts.
I hate to say it, but that's very Grisham-like.
One other player that the Padres parted with during the offseason is also off to a really bad start. That would be our friend, Snellzilla.
Snellzilla.
2 starts for Blake Snell with the San Francisco Giants have yielded 2 losses, 7 innings, 9 hits, 10 runs, 4 walks, and a 12.86 ERA. Small sample.
Very small sample.
But my point is, not everybody that leaves here is going about it in an all-star manner so far. It's very early to make, you know, come to conclusions about this. But I just want you to understand that if you're upset because Juan Soto is, you know, taking over the American League, understand some of the other guys who left have not been as successful yet.
That's a good thing to point out because so, it's true.
Trying to keep everybody off the ledge there.
I'm more concerned about how big of a Merrill Madness fan I am because it's becoming to the point where it's like, I want to live vicariously through Jackson Merrill. He's 20 years old. He's playing extremely well in the big leagues. This is what movies are sometimes.
And if you look at ESPN.com right now on the baseball page, there's a big story about Jackson Holliday.
Oh, that's so great.
Like I said before, let Jackson Merrill do his thing and just keep moving along merrily.
There you go. Another guy who's actually playing really well right now, Seth Lugo, is pitching out of his mind.
Oh, good call. The Royals have been off to a really nice start, and Seth Lugo's pitching well. I think he had shutout baseball last night.
He did.
If I'm not mistaken, six or seven innings. Although, does it count against the White Sox?
I thought the same thing, but I guess it does.
Do you know that the White Sox, I mean, this is incredible. You think your team's struggling. The White Sox have already been shut out six times this year. Six times! It's April 16th.
That's bad. That's brutal.
Yeah, Seth Lugo's 3-0 with a 1.05 so far. He's been, like, unhittable for the Royals. Michael Wacha hasn't been bad either.
Yeah, it just boggles my mind that no one wanted to give Seth Lugo a chance to start all these years.
Yeah, he's getting the last laugh. Josh, are you there in San Diego? I know you've been kind of jumping on and off the line there. Hi, Josh. How are you? Welcome to the show.
How's it going? Sorry. Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about Jackson Merrill. I met him at spring training when I brought my son, Jackson Merrill, to meet him. And I have to say, the dude was an infinite, like, consummate professional, consummate, like, hey, where's the kids at? I want to be out there. And my son following along and following his journey has been one of the coolest things as a dad seen. And every time we see him, on, you know, MLB Network, or we got season tickets, we're at the game. The kid is out there being an example for young kids and for the rest of the Padres, in my opinion.
Let me ask you now. You said your son, Jackson Merrill. What is that? Yeah. Your son's name is Jackson. His middle name's Merrill or
what?
No. I'm Joshua Merrill. My son is Jackson Merrill.
That's awesome. Really?
I'm dead serious. Yeah, 100%.
That is great. And
now, this obvious, you didn't name your son after this Jackson Merrill because you couldn't even have known about him,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think Jackson was, Padres Jackson Merrill is maybe eight whenever I named mine. So, yeah.
You need to get a photo with your son in a Merrill jersey and then Jackson Merrill in a Merrill jersey. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I have tons of them. Tons of them.
Oh, good.
I already ordered my number three Padres Merrill jersey, you know, because got to rep the family name. So I walk around the stadium and my son's wearing his, he wears number seven, he's worn it since he played T-ball. And so everyone's like, hey, you got the wrong number. And he's like, no, this is my jersey. And they're like, oh, touche, kid. So it's super cool.
Have you had the occasion yet to speak with Jackson Merrill?
Yeah, he said in spring training.
Oh, okay. You did talk to him. So your son has been introduced to the real Jackson Merrill.
So he caught Grand Pauly's first home run ball at spring training. And Grand Pauly gave him a bat and was like, hey, is your name really Jackson Merrill? He's like, yeah. So he's like, hold on, let me go get Jackson, and brought him out. And then the next day, Jackson came over and was like, hey, where's the little Jackson Merrill at? And like threw him a ball, was like, come meet me after BP. I'll sign whatever you want, kid. This is awesome. And then, Padres blogger ran a story on it. So it was super cool, man.
So now I know.
I'm so glad that we're in on this now.
Can you, are you on Twitter? I know you're on Instagram, but are you on Twitter?
I am not on Twitter now.
Okay. If you can Instagram me a picture or just post at me, I don't know how to do that on Instagram, to be honest, but I would be willing to retweet that also.
Yeah, we could retweet that. I'd love to get that up on
just
our
Matt Scraby. Matt Scraby.
That's so good.
Thank you for telling that story.
Awesome.
That's
Josh,
amazing.
Josh, I'm so glad you shared that with us. And when we, I can't wait to talk to Jackson Merrill now.
Yeah.
Because he'll be surprised that we know that he knows another Jackson Merrill.
Yes.
That's great. That's a pretty cool story.
It's a pretty cool Padres story.
That is fantastic, guys.
Thank you very much
for sharing that. Very good. Wow. How about that?
That's awesome.
That's even better than me almost having the same name as Craig Ela.
Yes.
Remember the basketball player?
Yes, and now little Jackson Merrill can go to the park and have his name on the back of the jersey, and no one will yell at him, "When are you going in?" like they did me, because I have my name on the back of the jersey.
Jackson Merrill, meet Jackson Merrill.
As if I couldn't love the real Jackson Merrill anymore.
That's a great story. Very good. All right. Good way to wrap up the first hour of the program. Thanks for sharing that, Josh. Daily Gambit next as we head towards Sam Levitt's Padre pregame show at 3:30 on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is there anything more that we can say really good about Jackson Merrill? I guess there is. We found a couple things. 3 for 5 last night. He's got three hit games already this season. Luis Camposano also has three. Two of Merrill's hits last night came with two outs. With two outs, he's hitting four. The statistics are
incredible.
Incredible what you can find out.
You can find anything.
He's hitting .435 with two outs. The only player hitting better than that is some guy named Juan Soto.
Oh, I've heard of him.
I think I've heard of him.
I mean, Juan Soto is not the player that he was here, that he is in New York.
He's doing well. I was going to talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
And Jackson Merrill also with two strikes had a base hit, two-run single last night with two strikes. He's hitting .321 with two strikes on him. Now, that's Tony Gwynn senior territory. The average for Major League Baseball players, and I heard this the other night, so it could be off by a little bit, but as of the other night, batters with two strikes are hitting .165 this year. You get the second strike, you pretty much have a guy out.
Yeah.
But not Jackson Merrill. He's hitting .321. That ranks sixth best in big league baseball. And as we said already, he's fourth in the National League batting race right now. So I was really, correct me if I'm wrong, Scraby, I was really slow on the Jackson Merrill hype train during spring training.
Yep.
I refused to jump aboard.
Yep, I was not.
I refused to jump aboard until I saw what he could do once the bell rang.
Ding.
Now the bell has rung and I'm ringing in. I mean, he's way better than anybody could have thought he was going to be. And let's just hope he keeps it up. Padre news today, as mentioned, Jake Cronenworth out of the lineup tonight, feeling some discomfort in his calf. Tony is in Milwaukee, joined us the first couple segments there from the booth. No word whether or not Jake has to go on the injured list or not, but the Padres have made a move. They have brought up Matthew Batten and sent Brett Sullivan down. Tonight, Jurickson Profar will play first base, and Jose Azokar will be in left field, while Cronenworth is out. So the first hiccup of the season, and hopefully it's not a big one. Hopefully it's just a day or two. Maybe Jake takes tomorrow off. Gets a travel day on Thursday. Hopefully, you may be ready to go Friday when they're home for Toronto. But it seems like the injured list is a possibility.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that. As Tony said, Christian Yelich went on the IL today from Milwaukee. He's been out for a while already. Atlanta Braves, you want to make fun of my fantasy team.
No,
because Yelich goes on the IL.
Yeah, you can make fun of mine.
Then I will raise you. Ozzie Albies going on the IL today.
Yep.
From your fantasy team.
I got five guys on the IL right now.
He's got a fractured big toe.
Well, he got hit by a pitch.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And
guess where that pitch hit him?
In the toe?
Oh, yeah. You're right. Very good.
I don't understand why they're not wearing steel-toed cleats.
A lot of guys wear you know, protection for their feet.
Not Albies.
Normally for foul tips, foul balls that go right down into their foot. Albies did not have that same protection, so he goes to the injured list today.
Mm.
You mentioned, well, we're going to take some phone calls if you'd like, and I know it's such a short show, we didn't really plan on it, but we have a segment here if you'd like to chime in, something Padres-related, something real good, something Jackson Merrill-related, something that you're concerned about. You're more than welcome, 833-288-0973. But I wanted to point out, you talked about Juan Soto. And there's this growing sense of dread around Padre land that the world's worst thing happened when we traded away Juan Soto. Because now he's a Yankee, and now he's the greatest player in baseball history. So far, so good for Soto, no question. He has the same number of hits this season as does Jackson Merrill. I will tell you that, 21. He's got 3 home runs. He does have 15 RBIs. And he's got a 972 OPS. He's walked 16 times already. And we already played. He's leading the American League, by the way, in that category. And we already played for you how happy the radio folks are in New York with Juan Soto walking all the time. But here's the thing. Juan Soto, you traded him, and you knew you're going to have to bite the bullet to a certain extent because we're not watching him on a daily basis. To me, watching Juan Soto play every day is where I can start picking him apart a little bit. Miscues on defense, throwing to the long base, base running errors, not being aggressive enough at the plate, not coming through in clutch situations. These are all the things that bothered me last year, bothered some Padre fans, not others. You don't notice any of those things when all you see is a box score. And Juan Soto in a box score is about as good as it gets.
I agree.
All right, so let's just cast that aside for the moment. Because the Padres didn't just part, and I know the notion is, every time we get rid of a player, they go on and they're unbelievable elsewhere, right? Isn't that the notion?
Pretty much.
Somebody asked Josh Hader about that.
Ugh.
Josh Hader was blasted last night.
Again.
Again, in the 9th inning. By the Braves. I think they got him for 4 or 5 runs.
Let me double check.
In a 1-1 tie. Braves end up winning a game 6-1. I don't know how many runs was charged to Hader.
I'm checking.
But so far for Josh Hader this year, 0-2 with a 9.39 ERA. In 7 innings, he's allowed 13 base runners. He has a 1.7 whip. Josh Hader's been about as bad as you can be. Now, having said that, Josh Hader also struggled when he came to San Diego first month or two.
I said the same thing to myself.
And then once he relaxed and settled in, he was the best reliever in baseball. But right now, he's certainly not. So your thought that, hey, every time a guy leaves San Diego, they're the greatest. Well, not so far with Josh Hader. Not
well,
so far.
He did give up the 4 runs last night in a third of an inning. And you kind of just sparked something in my head.
What's that?
And I just want to say, like, I'm not watching Juan Soto jealous of him and his success in New York or anything like that. I just think it's annoying when players go elsewhere and do a bunch of stuff.
Of course
but
it is.
Moving him also moved Trent Grisham, which allowed Jackson Merrill to have a position on the field.
And if you're doing with the Yankees so far, he's 0-10 with 4 strikeouts.
I hate to say it, but that's very Grisham-like.
One other player that the Padres parted with during the offseason is also off to a really bad start. That would be our friend Snellzilla.
Snellzilla.
2 starts for Blake Snell with the San Francisco Giants have yielded 2 losses, 7 innings, 9 hits, 10 runs, 4 walks, and a 12.86 ERA. Small sample.
Very small sample.
But my point is, not everybody that leaves here is going about it in an all-star manner so far. It's very early to make, you know, come to conclusions about this. But I just want you to understand that if you're upset because Juan Soto is, you know, taking over the American League, understand some of the other guys who left have not been as successful yet.
That's a good thing to point out because it's true.
Trying to keep everybody off the ledge there.
I'm more concerned about how big of a Merrill Madness fan I am because it's becoming to the point where it's like, I want to live vicariously through Jackson Merrill. He's 20 years old. He's playing extremely well in the big leagues. This is what movies are sometimes.
And if you look at ESPN.com right now on the baseball page, there's a big story about Jackson Holliday.
Oh, that's so great.
Like I said before, let Jackson Merrill do his thing and just keep moving along merrily.
There you go. Another guy who's actually playing really well right now, Seth Lugo, is pitching out of his mind.
Oh, good call. The Royals have been off to a really nice start, and Seth Lugo's pitching well. I think he had shutout baseball last night.
He did.
If I'm not mistaken, six or seven innings. Although, does it count against the White Sox?
I thought the same thing, but I guess it does.
Do you know that the White Sox, I mean, this is incredible. You think your team's struggling. The White Sox have already been shut out six times this year. Six times! It's April 16th.
That's bad. That's brutal.
Yeah, Seth Lugo's 3-0 with a 1.05 so far. He's been, like, unhittable for the Royals. Michael Wacha hasn't been bad either.
Yeah, it just boggles my mind that no one wanted to give Seth Lugo a chance to start all these years.
Yeah, he's getting the last laugh. Josh, are you there in San Diego? I know you've been kind of jumping on and off the line there. Hi, Josh. How are you? Welcome to the show.
How's it going? Sorry. Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about Jackson Merrill. I met him at spring training when I brought my son, Jackson Merrill, to meet him. And I have to say, the dude was a infinite, like, consummate professional, consummate, like, hey, where's the kids at? I want to be out there. And my son following along and following his journey has been one of the coolest things as a dad seen. And every night we see him, on, you know, MLB Network, or we got season tickets, we're at the game. The kid is out there being an example for young kids and for the rest of the Padres, in my opinion.
Let me ask you now. You said your son, Jackson Merrill. What is that?
Yeah.
Your son's name is Jackson. His middle name's Merrill, or
what?
No. I'm Joshua Merrill. My son is Jackson Merrill.
Get out of here!
Awesome.
Really?
I'm dead serious. Yeah, 100%.
That is great. And
now, this obvious, you didn't name your son after this Jackson Merrill because you couldn't even have known about him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think Jackson was, Padres Jackson Merrill was maybe eight whenever I named mine. So, yeah.
You need to get a photo with your son in a Merrill jersey and then Jackson Merrill in a Merrill jersey. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I have tons of them. Tons of them.
Oh, good.
I already ordered my number three Padres Merrill jersey, you know, because got to rep the family name. So I walk around the stadium and my son's wearing his, he wears number seven, he's worn it since he played T-ball. And so everyone's like, hey, you got the wrong number. And he's like, no, this is my jersey. And they're like, oh, touche, kid. So it's super cool.
Have you had the occasion yet to speak with Jackson Merrill?
Yeah, he said in spring training.
Oh, okay. You did talk to him. So your son has been introduced to the real Jackson Merrill.
He caught Grand Pauly's first home run ball at spring training, and Grand Pauly gave him a bat and was like, hey, is your name really Jackson Merrill? He's like, yeah. So he's like, hold on, let me go get Jackson, and brought him out. And then the next day, Jackson came over and was like, hey, where's the little Jackson Merrill at? And like threw him a ball, like, come meet me after BP. I'll sign whatever you want, kid. This is awesome. And then, Padres blogger ran a story on it. So it was super cool, man.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
That's so good.
Now I know.
I'm so glad that we're
I've
in on this.
This
now.
Can you, are you on Twitter? I know you're on Instagram, but are you on Twitter?
I am not on Twitter now.
Okay, if you can Instagram me a picture or just post at me, I don't know how to do that on Instagram, to be honest, but I would be willing to retweet that also.
Yeah, we could retweet that. I'd love to get that up on
just
our
Matt Scraby. Matt Scraby.
That's so good.
Thank you for telling that story. That's
Josh,
amazing.
I'm so glad you shared that with us. And when we, I can't wait to talk to Jackson Merrill now.
Yeah.
Because he'll be surprised that we know that he knows another Jackson Merrill.
Yes.
That's great. That's a pretty cool story.
It's a pretty cool Padre story.
That is fantastic.
Thank you very much for sharing that.
Very good. Wow. How about that?
That's awesome.
That's even better than me almost having the same name as Craig Ely.
Yes.
Remember the basketball player?
Yes. And now little Jackson Merrill can go to the park and have his name on the back of the jersey, and no one will yell at him, "When are you going in?" like they did me, because I have my name on the back of the jersey.
Jackson Merrill. Meet Jackson Merrill.
As if I couldn't love the real Jackson Merrill anymore.
That's a great story. Very good. All right. Good way to wrap up the first hour of the program. Thanks for sharing that, Josh. Daily Gambit next as we head towards Sam Levitt's Padre pregame show at 3:30 on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.